Genesis chapter 6, would you go there with me tonight? I'm starting a new series tonight and Wednesday night. Wednesday night I am going to start a series on Revelation, go right through the whole book. And I will give you a outline. It'll be handed to you by Brother Bain and his crew before you come into church. Kind of a bone outline of Revelation, and then you just fill in where I'll be teaching. But tonight, I love reading the Bible. How many read the Bible every day? Raise your hand if you read the Bible every day. And I've been reading the Bible, and every once in a while, I run on something. I said, that's interesting. Then here's what I do. I'll get my concordance out. That's old-timey ways. And just trace that a little bit and take it through the scripture and find as many places as I can find where that particular thing's mentioned. So what I've done, I started reading Genesis first here, and I noted one there. And then on into the scripture in Joshua, and I noted one there. And then I went over into Proverbs, and I noted one there. And went into Samuel, I saw another one there. And went into Malachi, and I saw another one there. And went over in the book of Acts, and I saw another one there. And then the sweet Holy Ghost starts saying, you ought to preach a series on that. And I said, sweet Holy Ghost, if you say so. And what I came upon is this little truth. I'm going to be preaching this next 6 weeks on Bible windows. Bible windows. And we're going to go to the law of first mention. And we're going to go to the first one tonight. And here's what we're going to preach on tonight. We're going to look at our storms through the window of the ark. We're just going to take a look at our storms. And by the way, you say, well, I'm not in one. Well, that's great, because you're either getting ready to go in one, you're in one, or just came out of one. Ladies and gentlemen, life is a series of storms. I just wrote this on a piece of paper. And you know the bad thing about it, I can't read my own writing anymore. And I just wrote down, this is not everybody, and if you're online and I don't mention your name, don't get upset at me. I just wrote down on some that's going through it right now. Thought about Leah Strope down in Florida. Oh, she's had over 20 surgeries on that knee. I thought about Rachel Vance. Been in the hospital for 3 weeks. Getting out tomorrow. Sister Raina, they're going to have some news on Tuesday. They're in the storm. My son James, many of you don't know this, James has had 5 major surgeries in the last 4 years. He's looking now to have a 5th one and a 3rd one on his hand. Hadn't been able to work for 2.5 years. Once you pray for him. I think about the marriages that are having storms in them. There's a lady come this morning. I don't know if she's here tonight. She was from out of our she's not out of our, in our church, but she called and made an appointment. She came forward this morning, prayed, and told me that her husband was doing better. And I thank God for that. And then I think of Cindy Elkins fighting that cancer, Miss Amy Whittington and Kim, and one of my deacons, Brother Jeff, lost his mama. Roger Westfall, I just talked to him, and his kidneys are still very tough and bad. I think of Pastor Tyler right there. Both of his kids have RSV and been sick and had them back and forth to the doctor. And Shannon Davis, I messaged her today. Her children's been facing the same thing. And I think of Kathy Davies' son and I saw Miss Sherry. Sherry said she's catching up to me in age and said she's going to have surgery in a couple weeks, 3 weeks. And my heart goes out to all y'all. And I think about Laura Huffman and the Woodses and Stan Carper's mama and just on and on and on. I had two preachers call me today in a storm in the church and said they're just getting ready to quit. They're getting ready to throw in the towel. I had two teenagers Wednesday night when I taught in your teen group Wednesday night, came up to me after service and privately and just wanted a preacher and said, "Pastor, man, we're having a rough time in school and we ain't been in very long, but it's getting worse all the time. There's bullying, there's peer pressure, there's hatred and anger. I want to preach tonight. I believe a lot of, and there's people in this room tonight. And listen to me by the way of live streaming. You're in storms tonight." I did a little study of just storms in general. I did that study just before Ian hit. Hurricane Ian hit four times, hitting Cuba and hit the barrier islands in Florida and then hit Florida proper and Georgetown, South Carolina, came up the coast, devastated several people. 1926 storm hit Florida and had $1.2 billion in damage and 372 people were killed in the city of Miami and storm after storm after storm. I remember going to Haiti right after the Hurricane David went down in Haiti. But I want y'all to know something. There's not a storm any greater than the storm that Noah was in. Because Noah's storm covered the whole world. And I want you to go there with me and look at chapter number 6. And we'll find the first one of these thoughts tonight. The Bible said in verse chapter 6, verse 14, if you're there, say amen. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of it, of the ark, shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it, 30 cubits. And listen to this, I'm interested in this. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with the lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." God gave an instruction manual to Brother Noah to survive the storm. I'm glad tonight that we're not living life in the blind. I'm glad tonight that we've got an instruction manual. We got a book that's inspired, infallible, preserved. Somebody help me preach. This ark was 300 cubits long or 450 feet long. Y'all, many of y'all seen the replica of it. 50 cubits wide or 70 feet wide and 30 cubits high. There are several features about it. You know, it had rooms. How many's been to the ark over in Ohio? You know, you've seen it. It has rooms in it. And then it had three stories, the lower story, the second story, and the third story. Well, by the way, my God's a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and you're a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. That's just a little extra preaching. And then it, well, glory, had one door in it. By the way, had one door in it, and by the way, there's just one door to get into salvation. Amen. Amen. And then verse 16, it said, had a wind in it. Only had one. And it was just a cubit. I'll tell you how long and why. It was a square. Look at my elbow. It was from here to here, approximately. Or 18 inches each way. One window. And Noah was put in the ark. Somebody help me. I feel some preach coming in. And the ark was there to provide shelter, safety, and security. See, Noah found himself in a storm that God sent judgment on this earth. And by the way, if God's going to judge Noah's time, and God's going to judge the time of Lot, what makes you think he's not going to judge America for our sins? And by the way, we're in this mess in this world, and we're living in this wicked culture. But I'm glad that we got an ark of safety. I'm glad we got a wind in the top. Here's what I'm going to do tonight. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at Noah. Take a look looking out. Then I'm going to take a look looking in to the ark. Then I'm going to take a look and looking up in the ark. Is that all right? I'm glad there was a window looking up. First of all, I want to talk about looking out can shake our faith. I want you to know something. It don't take much looking around to see that we're facing a bunch of stuff. What we're facing. Noah faced a tremendous flood, an unprecedented flood. Nothing has been like it, and nothing will ever be like it. Amen. By the way, it also, when he faced it was there for a while. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Somebody say amen. Hey, the water was up on the water. According to Genesis 7:24, and y'all can follow me in the scripture, the water was up on the earth 15 cubits high over the mountains for 150 days. Whew. The Bible said this, the waters increased, Brother Zach. Then they increased greatly. It said the waters prevailed and prevailed greatly. Every square inch of this planet was covered by water. And there's sometimes we face things that cover us, that's all around us, that affects us. But I'm glad God, despite it all, has us in the ark. Oh, I'm going somewhere tonight, and I'm going to enjoy the ride. There's been some times. How many here ever asked a question? Why is this trial taking so long? Anybody here? I went through a particular trial. It took me 18 months to get through it. Right now, my son and his wife, and I don't understand it all. It's been 2.5 years in the middle of a trial. They're friends of mine. Right in the middle of hell in their homes. Right in the middle of a trial. And you ask, why so long? Well, we're going to face some things, and sometimes it seems like a long time. It hurts. And it's rough. And then not only what he faced, how we often feel. How many's ever been in a trial and you feel kind of hopeless? You feel like this ain't ever going to win. This will never end. This is terrible. I don't know if I can take it anymore. But I'm glad the Bible said my grace is sufficient. I remember reading the story, Lois, of an S-4 submarine. Y'all probably read it. It's been a long time ago. That it was rammed in a storm off the coast of Massachusetts. And a ship run into that submarine and sunk it immediately. And the diver went down and put his ear up on that submarine And Brother Jeremy, somebody was doing Morse code. And here's what they said in Morse code. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Sometimes when we're in the middle of a storm, sometimes we can't figure out how in God's name am I going to get through this? Is there ever going to be end? How am I going to get through this? And I want you to know, if you look out of the ark, it don't look too bright. And it will shake you. It's all, man, I ain't never been shook. Well, then maybe you need to preach and I need to sit down. Well, I've been shook. I've been shook to my very core. I've been hit sideways, upside down, but I have found out there's an ark of safety. And there's a God that's on my side. But let's look at a second thought, because I think this may be just a tad more encouraging. Not only do I, if you look out, it could rattle you. Come on now. Look at this world. People's having a hard time. Do you know the average American under this administration we have right now is paying $4,600 more just to live than you did last year? And by the way, that bunch running this place, they could care less about you. But I am glad. Somebody wave your hand at me. I am glad, though they might not care, and they may not care. They're more interested in their critical race theory and their gender lines and their perversions and their homosexuality and their filth. But I'm glad I got a God that cares for me. But I don't want to look at this looking out very long. But then I want you to notice, looking in can settle our faith. So, see, I show you the view from looking out, and it sometimes shakes you. I've been praying for you every day, and I know Tuesday's scary. But I want you to know, I got a God that knows what's going to happen Tuesday. How many's glad you got a God that knows what you're going to go through before you go through it? That's why He can provide a way of escape. That's why He can take care of you. But let me give you a second point. I'll close in a minute. Looking in can settle our faith. Oh, it was crazy on the outside. But what about the view from the outside in? What was going on in that place? Well, there's three things I might say. First of all, the Lord's preservation was there inside that ark. Genesis 6 said the last part, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and wife, and thy son's wife. Everything's going to be destroyed, Noah, but I'm going to spare you. You're going to be spared the judgment of God, but you're not going to be spared going through the storm. I heard a little Sunday school kid get a question asked from a Sunday school teacher. He said, what is a yoke? And the little Sunday school kid said, it's what you put on animals. And then they said, well, what is God's yoke? And the little kid kind of hesitated and said, well, that's when God puts His arm around your neck and says it's all going to be okay. Though the world was perishing, though the world was going to pieces, aren't you glad that Noah was preserved? Ladies and gentlemen, we are not exempt by going through the storm, but I want you to know I got a God to preserve you in the storm. Amen. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Not only, I like this. If I didn't have a bad leg, I'd run all over on this place. On the outside looking in, they saw preservation. But they also saw something else, Zach. They saw God's presence. This verse makes me, you can look at yourself in Genesis 7:1. Listen to this. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Well, you say, well, I don't mean nothing to me. Well, it don't. It don't. Well, if he's on the inside, say, come on in. That means in whatever storm you're in, he's going to be with you. Not only did he tell them to come in, but when it was over, he told them to get out. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. No matter how long, no matter how bad, no matter how severe, I'm glad we got a God that's in it with us. How many likes this verse? How many quote this verse? Come on. How many quote Hebrews? Let's say it together. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. How many can say that with me? Let's do it. Well, that's about the weakest I'll ever leave. Can y'all do a little bit better than that if you believe it? By the way, that's in the triple negative. I'll never, no, never, no, never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to know something. I've been in some storms. It's been some troubled waters in my life, but I'm glad I'm not in it by myself. I'm glad in my storm there's a God in there with me. And then not only that, I see the Lord's promise. Come on now. The Lord's promise is what the Lord promised. So I tell you what, Noah, I'm going to go a little step further. I'm going to make a covenant with you. By the way, what is a covenant? It's a contract. It's a compact. You know what he said? I'm making a covenant with you, Noah. And Noah, you're the only one, and your kids is the only one going to remain alive. They say there's 365 promises or 30,000 promises in the Bible. And then it says there's 365 personal promises, or one for every day that God has for us. I'm not going to tell you as your pastor that God will prevent you from going through a storm. I'm just going to tell you He will preserve you. He'll be in it with you. And He promises to get you through it. Then can I finish? What have I done so far? I'm trying to remember. Well, we took a look at the view from the outside looking or inside looking out. Then we viewed from the outside looking in. But Anthony, we can't quit there. Let's take a view from the inside looking up. By the way, Chad, let me give you a Bible question. You know it already. Where was that window? Hey, Chad, where was that window? Was there any on the sides? Where? Right straight up in the middle of the ceiling. And it was only one cubit square. Is that right? I'm getting ready to get real happy. If that is true, and it is, looking up can strengthen our faith. There ain't nothing to strengthen your face like looking up to Jesus. Amen. Looking up to Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. I'll tell you what looking up does. It promotes dependence. I read after A.W. Pink. His books on gleanings are awesome. He He's crazy on some things. He said this, I liked it. Noah and his companions were not looking down on the scene of destruction or beneath and around them, but they were looking up toward the living God. I heard a story of some deacons, not in this church. Deacons had a deacon meeting and I guess got a little contentious. They were trying to figure out how to pay some bills and do some projects. And you know, sometimes we try to manipulate and say, well, this way, that way, this way. And they discovered different ways to meet the need, but none of them was sufficient. So finally one deacon said this, it looks like to me we ought to pray about it. And one of the deacons said, well, you mean it's come to that? Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing you ought to do is pray about it. That one window ought to promote dependence on God. Why is it that people do everything but seek God first? If I get sick, I'm going to have a bunch of deacons praying over me and anointing me. We don't have public shows of it. We'll let the Pentecostals ruin that. But buddy, we still believe in praying over people and anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith can save the sick. And by the way, that's better than going to any doctor, though I still believe in going to doctors, because God may use a doctor for your healing. Somebody help me. How many believe tonight we ought to be more dependent on God? But I'll tell you what, this wind had done one last thing. It prevented distractions. Look here, Ted. Look here. Kerrigan, it was straight up, and it was very small. So I couldn't see all that bad stuff going on. All they could see is a God of hope. And I see them little tears running down your face for your mama. Can I tell you something? Keep your eyes on Jesus. I want to tell you what the devil will do if you'll let him. I'm done. If you let him, he'll make you'll look out and you'll not look up. And you'll not depend on God, and a storm will distract you from doing what you ought to do. There have been some times in my ministry where I didn't handle it quite right. I let it distract me, and I looked out. But see, the older I get, the more seasoned I am, the more trials and the more battles I've been through, I'm just going to keep looking up. Because see, if you look up, you ain't going to hear all the criticism of the day and all the opposition of the day and all the stupidity of the day. By the way, it'd be a good idea, instead of you getting opinions of your friends who's on social media and they act like idiots, you ought to get your opinion from God. Amen. And keep real narrow in your focus. Amen. Am I right, Brother Rich? Keep real narrow. Because it don't take long to get your eyes. And you start talking this world, they ain't got no answers. They're dumber than a box of rocks, like my mom would say. But I want you to know, it's a little 18 by 18. By 18 window. Very narrow. And here's all it's for. To look unto Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. Stand with me with heads bowed. We'll continue this series next week, but with heads bowed and eyes closed. asking. Well, you ought to just come and pray and not worry about me begging you to pray. You're in a storm. You ought to come pray. I wonder how many tonight you're in a storm. How many tonight facing something that's already went on for a long time? Raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. God bless you. Why don't you just come on up around the altar? Why don't you bring your kids, grandkids? Our Father, thank you for the good liberty I had tonight. Hope it's helped somebody. Lord, I hope we don't get beyond the help we get from the Scripture. Thank you for that Bible window that says for us to look up and depend on you and not be distracted. In Jesus' name, amen. You ought to come.